What wondrous miracles are not recounted to us today in this most sacred liturgy of the Mass of this Sunday. In the Epistle of St. Paul the Apostle to the Corinthians, we find him retelling. It's not the first time, but he's retelling the Corinthians, and among them, we. He's telling us. We are the recipients of these sacred words about the greatness of the miracle of the resurrection. And of course, not everyone always believes in the resurrection. It is one of those things. It is the crux of our faith, that the Trinity and the Eucharist, without which there is no faith, there is no church, there is no salvation, as a matter of fact. And so he retells it to them. And obviously, if he is telling them that, there must have been a reason. Always, from the very beginning of the church till now, until the end of time, there have been some who have not believed, who have not wished to follow, who have not wished to obey. And so he needs to remind them, you know, this is the reason why we do what we do. Jesus, first of all, he gave us the Eucharist on the night he was betrayed. This is my body, this is my blood. But then, after having suffered horrendously for us, for our salvation, then on the third day, when everything seemed to be lost, of course, remember what I tell you often. Right before the resurrection was the darkest night that ever was. The apostles were dejected. We see this with the two disciples, St. Joseph of Cleophas and St. Luke, going to their village, to their villa in Emmaus, where there Christ also appears and celebrates the second Mass, and then disappears. Just as he disappears here, we have the sacred images and the actual different things that we do that are most important and necessary to us. But they're not always as visible as we would like them to be. But they're as visible as he is going to allow them to be, unless he has a special purpose. And so on the third day, when it was darkest, when all seemed to be lost, he rises again. And he appears to different ones. First of all, to St. Peter, Kephas, the rock. And with him, St. John the Evangelist, the beloved disciple. Now, nowhere here does it say anything about the Blessed Mother, but it doesn't need to be said. He would have appeared to her first, but not told to us in the sacred scriptures. Not everything is in the sacred scriptures. And so, we see. Finally, he says, I, who am not even an apostle truly, in fact, he persecuted the church. He appeared to me, too. And then he called me by the grace that is his, that I am what I am. And his grace in me is not vain. Now, who of us can say that? And we should. There's no pride in saying that, as long as it's true. By the grace of God, I am what I am. If I'm following Christ fully, completely, then that is what happens. Now, in the Gospel, we have a slightly different picture, but the same true God and true man, that is Jesus Christ. And we have seen this in the last few weeks, that he has done several things and shown us several things that appertain particularly to his human nature. because he is true God and true man. And so they bring him, this deaf-mute man, near the Decapolis, the 10 cities, which were all pagans, the Gentiles. And he was there doing what? Preaching, teaching. He came to save not only the Jews, but all mankind. And so, there is a man who is deaf and mute. Cannot speak because he cannot hear. And they asked him, please, heal him, cure him. And so our Lord does something which may seem to some of us to be a little different, a little strange. He pulls him aside from the crowd. Now you'd think he would want to do it all in front of the crowd so everybody could see and believe. No, he pulls him aside from the crowd. Now in a distance, they can more or less see. So they don't know what he's doing. And they marvel at what he does. And so, our Lord lays his hand upon him. And then he does something which very strange. He puts his finger in his ears. Now remember that, and the fathers of the church recall to us. And on Pentecost, when we sing the Veni Creator, Digitus Dei Omnipotens, the Holy Spirit is the finger of God. Christ and the Holy Spirit are one, as Christ and God the Father are one. So in his finger, the Holy Spirit, and he touches his ears that had never heard. And all of a sudden, they hear noise, all kinds of noise. And then he spits on the ground and he takes the mud made by his spittle, his divine and human spittle, and touches his tongue with that. Now, it's a good thing that we don't have to do that when we get view of the sacraments. Now, the sacrament of baptism, and we're going to have two children, a little baby, a little girl, and a little boy baptized next Saturday. And we are supposed to touch their mouth, not their tongue, but their mouth, in imitation of this. But luckily, we don't have to spit on the ground and put mud in their mouth. Thank God. But if he had said so, then we'd have to do it. We have to obey. And so our Lord does that. And immediately, St. Mark says, the string of his tongue was loosed. Now, you know, underneath your tongue, there's something that is holding the tongue to the rest of your mouth. Well, his was imperfect, and he could not speak because of that. His tongue was almost like nailed down to the bottom of his mouth. I'm sure there's a scientific name for that, but I don't know. Oh, history's made. I don't know something. Anyway, that little string, I don't know what it's called in Latin or Spanish or French or Italian or anything. It's just a string. And it's loosened. And then all of a sudden, in St. Mark says, he immediately speaks correctly, rightfully. Now the babies, the little noisemakers that delight us so much, sometimes not, they're not speaking words, sentences, paragraphs. They're not speaking books. They're just making noise. That is what should have happened with this man. But no, St. Mark. And St. Mark doesn't say too many things. He's the shortest of the Gospels because St. Mark is very reticent. He says very little. He just says something and that's it. Here he gives us a detail that he usually would not give us. He spoke, the string of his tongue was loosed, and he spoke right. And all of a sudden, this man, who had never heard a word, all of a sudden he begins to speak. Now, he doesn't tell us the language. Was it Greek? Was it Mesopotamian? Was it Aramaic? Was it Hebrew? Maybe it was Latin or Greek. Who knows? But he spoke correctly. And then everybody sees it. And he told them not to tell anybody. So it happens even today. Whenever I say to somebody, don't tell anybody, the very minute they go out the door and the first person they meet, oh, Canon said this, that, blah, 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 blah. And if I tell you, you know, so-and-so did this, and he needs or she needs our prayers, they go and everybody knows in the whole parish that this person has this particular problem. Our Lord knew. He created us, and he saw what original sin had done to us. And that is original sin. Gossip and a loose tongue come from original sin. And a lot of people don't realize it. The gossip is a serious sin, which we must confess. So the man began to speak. And our Lord told them, don't say anything. And St. Mark says, and so much the more did they wonder, saying, he hath done all things well. And they began to publish it. A great deal that they publish it. Surdos fecit audire, et mutos loqui. We don't have that problem here. We don't have any mutes who cannot speak. They are very happy to make a joyful noise to the Lord. And of course, baptism and the sacred chrism, when the Holy Spirit comes upon them at baptism, immediately after they have been washed clean by the waters of baptism, that allows them to be joyful and happy and full of the life of the Holy Spirit, who brings us baptism in the holy font of the church, the womb of the church, the womb of this parish and shrine. The baptismal font. Let us rejoice in the Lord. Let us rejoice because the Lord has given us to know, to understand, and to speak wondrous things. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.